I wonder what it is like when people come to the end. And I wonder what it will be like for me when it is my time to die, to end my existence on this earth. Of course, I've seen many people die. I've done many funerals. But I still wonder, what is it like? Because I only can see it from afar. How do we set the tone? How do we mark the transition? What monuments do we make? How do we find meaning? We can reflect through Christ's life in the Scriptures, and I think we'll grasp that this final week is an astonishing week. In fact, this week in our own life here and now is. Because with Palm Sunday, we open with a wonderful triumph, and then we're caught perhaps short by the drastic change. And then we have we have the possibility for services every day, but we've given you a break. And we look at Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, today being Maundy Thursday. Jesus sets the tone, I think, for us in this day with the idea of knowledge. And what we have here is Jesus, as reported by the Apostle John, knows now this is His hour, this is His time, and it's here and it's now. He knows that the Father, to quote John, had given all things into His hands, and that He had come from God and was going to God. And knowing the time and to whom He belongs is enough to give Jesus the strength and power to continue His walk toward a certain death. It appears that out of these two pieces of knowledge, Jesus can come forward and make a last will and testament for those who desire what He has, for those who desire His comfort and power in their lives. So, what would we do knowing we were coming to the end? Wash feet? Well, that's what Jesus does. It seems a very strange thing to do. It's recorded nowhere else in the Gospels. In fact, there's not a whole lot of mention of feet in the Bible. Apparently, from other readings, the host is supposed to offer water for washing feet. And we know this because Jesus upbraids the Pharisee for failing in that duty. Now, that's in Luke 7:44. And in John, apparently, we've identified this woman, the woman who washes Jesus' feet, as Mary Magdalene. So some people say, well, we ask the question, who is supposed to wash the feet? And that's the jury's out on that question. Some people say it's the slave or a servant's duty. And other people say, no, it's even beneath the servant's duty. So we have to wash our own feet. We can't toss it off on the slave. And I think we need to remember, back in those days, we weren't driving around in cars. We were walking through roads. They were dusty. They could be muddy. They could be dirty. We've got camels and donkeys and goats and sheep that relieve themselves on the road. So there's just a little bit more than dirt on the shoes and the feet. I think that's a real important point. And some of those things for the Jews are absolutely unclean. So we've got a task. At any rate, Jesus knows who He is, what the Father has called Him to do, and He decides to wash feet. And because of His stature among the disciples, Peter cannot handle it. It's distressing to him. Now, Peter understands rank. That might come with the fisherman territory. We know what it's like for one person at the end. Jesus knows who He is and where He's going. And through this knowledge, then Jesus makes a dramatic and powerful statement about love. Jesus is not talking about sweet and syrupy love. He's talking about love in the Greek sense, agape. which is love that really can only be attributed to God. He's talking about this, and I believe that it reflects more of a decision to take action than it does a nice, friendly, soft, warm, cuddly feeling. And I would get that sense of the word from Gary Smalley as he writes in his book, Love is a Decision. Now, it's a book about marriage. And it's a book that reveals that everything that we do reflects a decision. And sometimes when we're called by God to love, it requires some actions that we may not really want to take. But we know that God is calling us to take. It requires thought and action. Jesus summarizes the law early in his ministry in saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. That's a tall order. There's an old saying, however, if you can't make it, fake it. Love as a decision is sometimes like that, because what it says, I really don't feel loving. But because of God, because of the example of Jesus Christ, because I know that Jesus knew the Father, I know that I know Jesus Christ, and through the power of His love, I can make the decision to make that loving choice. Many times we'll find that our feelings will eventually conform to our actions. Sometimes one comes before the other. Sometimes one comes after the other. And this night in history is one in which we can remember that our faith in Jesus Christ is not a feeling, but a fact. Our faith is a fact. It's not a warm fuzzy. We don't have all the answers, but we have some of them. We look to Jesus as that excellent example of not acting on feelings, but on faith. So Jesus takes his knowledge of who he is and who the Father is, and out of that comes love. That love that shows a dramatic servanthood, which is why this night is really an important night for those of us here at Servants of Christ. Because we are servants, and we do things because we have the sense that God is calling us to do them. And this is one of those nights where might not feel too comfortable with things, but we still say, yes, Lord, we'll do as you did and do as you commanded. This day is named Maundy Thursday, and it comes from the Latin. Maundy comes from the Latin mandamus, which means command. And as you heard in our gospel, toward the end of the gospel, Jesus is giving a new commandment. You've heard about the Great Commission. This is, and the Great Commandment is that one I read about love. Love the Lord your God. And then finally, this is the new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. It's the pinnacle. It's the key to our life as Christians. And I'm always confronted with it, to be honest. And it hasn't gotten any better lately. I mean, I always am thinking of the suicide bombers. This is the most extreme case I can think of. And how do you love those people? How do you do that? Maybe we don't. Maybe we can't. But I always look at Jesus and I see how he loved Judas. You know, it's like the story of the monk who sees a scorpion caught in a spider web and decides to remove it. And as he reaches for it, the scorpion stings his hand and it hurts a lot. And so he's a desert father, and so he does it again. He gets stung again, and it's really hurting. And he finally gets it out of the web and sets it down. And one of the other younger monks is kind of just looking at him and saying, why are you doing that? And the older desert father said, I cannot allow what the scorpion is to change who I am. I cannot allow that to happen. That's what I think Jesus has. With his knowledge of God and his love, Jesus becomes the servant to show his disciples what it's going to take, to show them the power that God wishes to bestow upon them after he is gone. And the third word for us here tonight is the idea of memory. This night goes back 2,000 years. And it's not just normal memory. You know, the disciples have pretty short memories. We might have long ones for the incongruities in our world or things that go wrong. We might remember the wrongs of this world. And we might have short memories for the things that went right. But this day, we remember what the apostles were told 2,000 years ago. And we call this memory in the church a special word called anamnesis. And I was somewhat impressed this week because the Gainesville Sun actually talked about anamnesis. And it is more than just a simple remembrance. You know, we give thanks in our Eucharistic prayer for this memorial thy Son hath commanded us to make, to use the older language. And some of us think, well, it's just a memorial. It's just taking an action. But the sense of the Greek anamnesis is much deeper. This memory is transcendent. This is a transcendent memory where we reach back and we're sitting at the table with Jesus. We're washing feet with Jesus. It's a much deeper than just a simple, I remember. So it's a required part of the Eucharistic prayer, as a matter of fact. On this night in which he was betrayed, that phraseology, we begin to remember. We begin to have anamnesis. The outstanding memory that hits me every time I come to the Lord's table is that Jesus knows this is the end. And we have different accounts of this night in the different Gospels. And so that leaves us with a little bit of ambiguity, but that's fine. That ambiguity is wonderful. God is a mysterious person, and we need to always remember that. But the outstanding thing is that Jesus knows he's going to die, and yet he still is a servant. And then, you know, if I were going to die, I'd probably be rushing around trying to escape somehow. But Jesus just stops, and he takes the group of people with whom he is most intimate and says, I'm going to break bread. I'm going to give you my body and blood. And the first thing he does when he has that is he gives thanks. That to me is very powerful. The chips are down. Nothing looks right. Okay, nothing looks right. And he's giving thanks. The first thing that he does that night. So, Jesus also says, whenever you drink this, do this in anamnesis of me. So tonight is our opportunity to know Jesus more, to practice acting in love, and become a part of the anamnesis of Christendom. In a few minutes, we can participate in the foot washing, remembering the love that Jesus had for his disciples. It's illuminating that out of the knowledge of God and that love for his Son comes servanthood. Out of all those things comes servanthood. When we studied the spiritual discipline of service this Lent, we noted that there is service that exalts self, and that's called self-righteous service. The other kind of service is that murmuring of God, which calls us to come and do something. We're reminded that Jesus asks us not to invite the famous and the rich to our home, but invite the poor, people who have no chance of repaying. And that's that little hint of that murmur of God, to call us through the knowledge and love of God into that servanthood and remembering all these things. So I do invite you to participate this evening. It's an Anglican liturgy, and that means all may, none must, and some should wash feet. So certainly we all seek Jesus and a deeper knowledge and love of Him. And this is one way in which we can work toward that. When we become filled with His love, I believe we're going to become more like Him. I think it's Peter that writes that we will be changed from glory to glory. We will be able to show more love to one another and to the folks outside our congregation. And finally, we'll begin to pass on the memory of Jesus' last days. We'll begin to build memories of our own experience in servanthood and build our own traditions, which mirror the church's wider traditions. So my prayer for you is grow in that knowledge and love and remembrance, the anamnesis of God and of Jesus Christ.